Hello and welcome to Resource Report, where we share with you important information about local nonprofits and resource organizations that support the community we share, produced by Pathways to Agency. I am your host, Rainmaker. Today we feature the Community Nature Foundation and Fern Gully Forest School with Lindsay Wunder and Carissa Waters. Here's Carissa and Lindsay. I am here at Chaos Radio in the production studio with Lindsay Wunder and Carissa Waters with Community Nature Foundation and Fern Gully Forest School. How are you guys doing today?
We're great. Thank you so much for having us.
Oh, you are welcome so much. Can you please introduce yourselves, your position, and how did you come to be here with Community Nature Foundation and the Fern Gully Forest School?
Yeah, I'm Carissa, and Lindsay and I were a part of a group of mothers and educators that started the nonprofit Community Nature Foundation to purchase and protect a local community forest for the forest school that we started during COVID. We were looking for something like it for our children, couldn't find anything like it in the community. And with our experience and our community support, we were able to start the nonprofit and the forest school.
Wow, awesome.
Yeah, it's been an amazing journey. Yeah, we started the school partially as a response to the pandemic in 2020 because we were able to create the school, Fern Gully Forest School Preschool, with the kids being outside all the time and being unmasked during that time so that they could have the full access to their teachers' communication, their faces, the faces of their friends, and being able to be all outdoors. Creating that allowed us to meet the health and safety guidelines for our community and provide our kids with the social-emotional connection that they really needed during that time. So it was a nice fit for the community and our families.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. And so can you say a little bit more about what the Community Nature Foundation is, what y'all really do?
Yeah. So we do grassroots fundraisers, some really fun community events to raise funds to purchase and protect more of this community forest, Fern Gully Forest. It's an urban forest located in Olympia within the city limits. It's a very small but mighty forest. It's kind of a hidden gem. You wouldn't know it was back there. And when you're in the forest, you wouldn't know you're in the city. And we had been looking around for other land trusts when we found out that this forest could be sold and developed. We were looking to see who could help us to protect it, and there were no other community organizations in the area that do small urban forests protection. There were others that do larger areas of forest protection, farmland protection, or endangered species protection. So because there was nothing like it, and we were already working to start the forest school for our own children, we decided to start the nonprofit with our community support in order to meet that need as well.
And then the Fern Gully Forest School aspect?
Yeah, so the forest school has been thriving since 2020.
Yeah,
2020. Look, it is when we look at our dresser. Yeah, 2021. And so the forest school originally was a business, an LLC. And as we developed the nonprofit, we eventually chose to dissolve the LLC as far as like licensing and that kind of stuff goes, and bring all of our youth programming, including summer camps, spring break camps, and now a program that we offer for older children ages 6 through 12 during the school year. So we brought all of that programming under the nonprofit. So that's been a big shift.
Yeah, we did that last year because we had a piece of the forest donated to us in loving memory of Vicky Friend, who was a brother and sister who had inherited the piece of forest. And they sent a letter to all the neighbors letting them know that they were trying to sell it. And we hadn't known that that forest could be sold and developed. It was like a greenway. We thought that it was already protected. It was behind the forest school that we were starting. And we contacted them and let them know what we were doing, our vision. They were very supportive, ended up donating it to us once we finally got all of the paperwork back from the IRS and got official 501c3 nonprofit status. So they donated that piece in 2021. And then we were able to purchase just last year the neighbor's house that came with another 2 acres of the forest and the creek access. There's Indian Creek there. And it's right on the border of Woodland Trail system as well. So it's a really nice central location, walkable, bikeable, to get to Forest School. And so that's the location. We've created another outdoor classroom for the older kids there, 6 to 12 year olds, homeschool enrichment classes.
That's fabulous. That's awesome. How very lucky for y'all, especially that y'all were able to get that house.
Yeah, it was amazing timing. That was just over a year ago.
Yeah, we got a loan from the Washington Community Reinvestment Association. They're also a women-run nonprofit based in Seattle, and they invest in community. Just really loved what we were doing. We had a proposal for the Community Nature Center there, and they really loved and supported that and provided a great loan for us to be able to do that. We are still working on purchasing and protecting about another acre that's remaining of Fern Gully Forest. It is owned by a small development company who has also been really supportive of our vision for it. They are, you know, needing and wanting quite a high value for that property. So it's been on hold for a while, especially last year as we were purchasing the neighbor's house and 2 more acres of the forest. So we have about 3 acres of the forest protected currently in the Community Nature Foundation. And we are still raising funds and doing community events to be able to purchase and protect the remaining forest.
Awesome.
Yeah, that section has the old growth trees, big red western cedar trees. So it's a really important part of the forest that we're still working to protect.
Nice.
Yeah, that piece of the forest that is currently for sale is in the middle of Fern Gully Forest. So it's a very critical piece of the whole forest.
It's right in the middle of everything we're doing right now. So we need to do that as quickly as possible. And also I feel that it's coming. So we're looking forward to that. If you want to support that, come help.
Ideally, we would raise the $175,000 that they're asking for. It is a small family-owned company, and they need it for what they've told us is medical bills and things. So they really do need that money. So ideally, win-win situation. You know, we are able to find a donor that can support the urban conservation of the urban forest. Excuse me, but also. It's really a piece of what we're doing right now to prove that it needs to be protected is looking for wildlife biologists, wetland scientists who can do some of those studies to help us show that it should already be protected. My background is in conservation and protection, so I have done a lot of that work, and the only kind of barrier to that right now is the funding to do those studies. They're
awesome. Yeah, I want to go back really quick for a second. So when you were mentioning that you switched over from an LLC to a nonprofit, this might explain why if anyone right now were to go and Google the Fern Gully Forest School, there are 2 websites. Eric, okay. So that explains that.
Yeah, our first website, ferngullyschool.com, still comes up first on Google. And most people know that. So we have kept it active. That mostly has our information for our preschool. We also do have a page on there that has information for the homeschool enrichment programs. But if you're curious about all of our programs, including the conservation piece and our community events, you'd want to go to communitynature.org.
Okay, thank you for that clarification. Now, is the original website going to eventually disappear?
Eventually, once we figure out the Google SEO to improve the other website, yes.
It's a process.
Okay, yeah, and then y'all will have like notifications up about that when the change is ready to be made.
And we do work to keep that original website accurate as well.
Mm-hmm.
So okay. if people
find that, that's fine. Also, there's just more info on communitynature.org.
And are there links to communitynature.org from the first website?
Mm-hmm. Yes, especially on the admissions page of the first website, if they're looking to enroll, and there's links on how to get to Community Nature Foundation's website. And that is really has a lot more information on there. There's also more information on our Facebook page. Ferngully School is the tag for that. And that has both the nonprofit and the NatureWise programs and the forest preschool.
Okay, good to know. Good to know. Now, why a forest school? What's up with that?
Ooh. Okay, I want to shoot at that one. I love that. So, the reason that I particularly love the forest school model, which we draw a lot from, is being able to foster this environment and social structure through our teaching and guidance capacity with the kids, where they are constantly encountering their own growing capacity through all these challenges that they come up on. If it's they want to be able to climb out across on a log or run and jump over things in the woods, or, you know, of course, learn to sort out social issues with their friends. I love that the focus is on really encountering our capacity in times of challenge. For me personally, that's the takeaway for me from the forest school model. And there are lots of different ways to do forest school. There's wonderful lineages across the globe where people have chosen to have their children cared for, guided, taught outside in all weather. And so we do that too. Our kids just have, you know, we follow the local Olympia School District, the OSD school calendar. We do have covered areas and some warm-up areas, but all the kids just have fantastic rain gear. So do the teachers. And, you know, we have a fairly temperate climate here. But it's still that challenge sometimes too of just being out in the weather and feeling the wholeness of being human outside with the plants, with the trees, with each other, with the water, you know. It's just super fun. I love it so much. So we do a lot of native plant study, teaching the children about shelter building, you know, making fires, understanding the water quality in the stream, understanding the local animals, and watching for their signs and their life cycles, all in relation to who we are as humans and who we are socially and who we are as part of that whole.
So we do primarily draw from the forest school pedagogy, but we also bring in some Waldorf inspiration. A lot of our founding board members and mothers were Waldorf educators. So we love to bring in a lot of that. Primarily with seasonal celebrations. We do a winter solstice candle making and spiral walk. We also do harvest parties and community events. A big part of what we're doing is community building as well, and parent support, especially homeschool support. But all of the parents also need some social interaction as much as our children do. We also need that connection. So we really follow the four realms of awareness and connection. We journey through that in both the preschool and the NatureWise program for older kids. The circle is for community, but there's also self-connection and awareness that we're bringing in with our curriculum of mindfulness. We do meditation practices and yoga, and then nature connection, of course, and wild crafting, ancestral skills, survival skills. So there's a lot interdisciplinary that we bring in that's really holistic education.
Yeah, I think the holistic education piece that we have found particularly with the Waldorf schools, a lot of that
you know, really helping the children to be aware of and in their bodies, like a lot of movement, a lot of focus on play, and really celebrating where the kids are at developmentally and having their academic interest be met appropriately based on their own development. That's something that I really took away from my experiences with Waldorf education. And yeah, I feel like that is one of the best things we can offer our kids, is instead of trying to have them all do things at the same time, really seeing where they are and meeting them, which is, it's challenging, but I think that's the way we all grow and learn. So that's an important aspect of how we teach and encourage the kids. We also have Montessori influence as well. Yeah, I think especially you come from more of that. So you want to speak to what that's...
And our people who are not familiar, I'd love to have Montessori and Waldorf clarified.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. We use a lot of Montessori methods in our interactions with children and in our daily flow. So it's a beautiful unstructured learning approach. So there is, of course, the teachers are, they're teaching and they are introducing subjects, but then there's open stations where the children get to go to different materials and are able to learn in a way that works best for them. So it's very child-centered, child-led. There are, of course, teacher-led activities as well. So it's a balance between child-led and teacher-led. There is free play and that kind of unstructured play, which is also very important. Many studies show the importance of that unstructured play for children to be able to, like Lindsay was saying, really test their boundaries and assess risk for themselves. That risky play comes from the forest school pedagogy, which is just such a great way for children to really understand their own limits and gain self-esteem and self-confidence. So they are learning through this unstructured play and unstructured learning to really have self-motivation and develop this love for learning that can be really stamped out if they're forced to learn or if they have to learn a certain thing in a certain way. And that's just not their learning style. There's not, you know, there's not one box fits all children. They all need different things. So we bring in a lot of different methods and approaches for each child.
Yeah. That brings up something for me. I find that kids who are coming to us with their families knowing that they are they're telling us that their kids are neurodivergent. They're telling us that their kids have been diagnosed with ADHD or autism or various different challenges or ways of being. And basically, we're encountering families pretty often who are feeling challenged, trying to help their kids go to public school. And then, or schools that are more structured like that, or even daycares, or different you know, cares or education that they're part of, whatever, where they're finding these kids are just not getting their needs met socially or for their sensory needs. And I have had so much fun seeing many kids come to us with their parents having concerns about how they're going to do based on past experiences and other types of learning models. And these kids are thriving with us for the most part. They really are, because they can play on the swings. They can eat whenever they're hungry. They can jump on trampolines. They can encounter plants and dirt and just get so much nurturing. And we have pretty small groups for the amount of, our student to teacher ratio is very low. So we're right there to help them when they have just issues coming up. We do a lot of work with helping the kids learn to regulate through, like Carissa was saying, you know, meditation, mindfulness practices, just self-awareness. We put a huge focus on that with our teachers for the kids so that the kids can really be held when they're having discomfort, if it's socially or they're encountering their own discomfort about their environment or their food or whatever's going on, and really helping them through co-regulation that we could offer them, as well as many different things that they can do. Like if it's, various types of crafting or building or just engaging with different things physically with their hands, or like I said, swinging or that kind of stuff. It could be petting the cat. That really helps sometimes. Other rabbits, animals, and having that sweetness is really grounding for some kids.
Just being in nature is so healing. Yeah. It's very therapeutic. Yeah, it's really amazing to see how these children are just so different when they're in nature based on what their parents tell us. Absolutely. Just regulated and ready to listen. They have increased attention spans and they're much more engaged and wanting to do the activities. It's really beautiful to see how nature alone is so helpful for the children, just being outside. We like to say if a child is bouncing off the walls, don't punish the child, take away the walls.
When you're coming out of a school environment that has pressure, and now you have no pressure to perform, to be a certain way, you know, that is extremely healing.
Yeah, it is. And we do have a very strong structure of accountability, though, helping the children learn to be accountable as they learn to regulate, and then like next steps, like expressing their needs and being accountable, like understand their feelings and be able to talk about those things. And but yes, being accountable for how they treat others. Mm-hmm. That's a huge part of what we do. So we do have expectations, but based upon just how to be good people together. And I think that's another thing that is really important in the work that we do, is helping the children understand their capacity, how important they are to each other. And I really try to, I like to focus on encouraging them to be genuinely curious about each other and remember that we're all friends, and to be kind. Mm-hmm. If we can stay with that and give ourselves space when we're feeling uncomfortable and ask for help if we're feeling uncomfortable, that's kind of the basis of everything. Everything comes back to that socially. When our expectation is that they do have the capacity to learn to regulate, they do have the capacity to learn to talk about their feelings and ask for help, they do have the capacity to be kind to each other. Even if it's not their favorite person, they have the capacity to be kind, you know? I think that's it. It's like that expectation that we have that they are capable and that they are awesome people, you know, instead of coming down on them for doing things in ways that may be disruptive or hurtful to others sometimes, instead of coming down on that, being like, whoa, okay, how did this happen? Mm-hmm. And always being available for that work. That are very important to us. And we want them to think about each other that way and be supportive of each other in those ways too. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So we talked a little bit about Montessori, but what about Waldorf? How are they different?
They both come from just very different educators. Maria Montessori created Montessori. I don't want to say school necessarily, but she created a whole philosophy around teaching and guiding and raising children, which is very different from the Waldorf style of education, which was created by Rudolf Steiner. They're both wonderful and just very different. Steiner was very, very excited about the ideas of a holistic lifestyle for children based on their development and a real inclusion as much as possible throughout their daily rhythms. He was really, there's a lot of emphasis on the rhythm of the day in Waldorf education and kind of doing things at the same time every day and having the same you know, repetitive songs or experiences that create this like grounding structure foundation. So some of the ways that's just one little piece. I mean, Waldorf education is just a very unique practice. And I'm really grateful for that influence in my own life. But I have chosen not to just go teach at a Waldorf school, which I used to think I would want to do. I really like to mix in a lot of great Waldorf ideas and practices and crafts and festivals. I like to weave that in as part of my family life as I've raised my kids and also our school. Yeah, so I like the very practical applications of, I remember one from a Waldorf parenting book was like, oh, your 2-year-old or 3-year-old is biting someone. I hand them a carrot and say, we bite carrots, not our friends. Just like very practical and like very like cause and effect, but without shame or blame. Mm-hmm. And I really like that. So anyway, that's a little bit about that. Montessori is much more based on offering the children a lot of different things. Like Carissa was saying, like we see that at our school by having different stations set up. They're always available. And there's always, for instance, in the preschool, there's always the mud kitchen. There's always the garden. There's always the bunnies. There's always the dress up area. There's always the music. There's always the building blocks area or,
Puppet theater.
The puppet theater, right. The painting area. You know, there's different things that the kids always have access to. So we do have periods of the day at our school or at the preschool, especially, but in both programs, where the kids have free play, they have free play in the woods and also some lab activities in the woods, the forest. But also in our preschool area where we have all these things that I just mentioned, there are certain chunks of the day that are just left open for them to be able to play and engage in all those different ways with the guidance and support of their teachers, you know, as pertains to any which one thing they do. But they have a lot of freedom about when and how they want to do those things. So I would say that is a strong Montessori influence. Also, both Waldorf and Montessori practices, as well as Forest School, have a huge emphasis on a really healthy, like low toxin environment for children. So that being like, you know, the types of images that they're exposed to, the types of materials that they're in contact with their hands, even as much as the materials that we wear, you know, everything, we impact everything, everything impacts us. So for instance, Montessori and Waldorf both, styles of education do not promote the use of plastic toys or very much technology, especially at an early age. So there's an emphasis on natural materials, natural, like I say natural, but like kids want to play in the dirt. So yeah, let's have them play in the dirt. Let's have them climb a tree, play with wooden blocks, like be in contact with things that are close to us. Of our own makeup. Does that make sense? I feel like I'm rambling about that, but that's a big difference between walking into some daycares or schools where you just see plastic everywhere, or you'll see just tons of screens and computers everywhere, and big screens even in kindergartens these days. I'm amazed by that. Because the kids are really needing to learn to engage with our actual environment, which is the natural world as humans. We have to be able to do that. So that's like why we do the forest school aspect of our work, particularly, is to help the children continually engage with the natural elements, being awareness of the weather and the moon cycle and the seasons and the longer days or the shorter days, or what are the plants doing right now? What are the animals doing? And then relating that to how they feel and what they're processing and what they're thinking about and what are the things that we do in our homes or in our communities during this different seasons. That I think it's very important for children to have an understanding of basic survival skills. So at our school, we do have a strong emphasis on that. Instead of, say, like, a bunch of energy toward tech education, we simply don't do that at this point. I mean, lots of people are doing that. We're offering a difference. We want the kids to feel at home on the planet as humans and understand how to take care of themselves and each other practically and socially. And that's why I love Forest School. So, yeah.
It sounds like a lot of overlap with unschooling and homeschooling. You get a lot of homeschool, unschool families?
We do some, yes. And the program that we're offering right now, which is called Nature Wise, that's for children ages 6 through 12, Monday through Thursday for the school year beginning September 3rd. That's from 9:30 in the morning until 3:30 in the afternoon, Monday through Thursday. We have created that program as homeschool support. So, there's different ways that families who are currently enrolled in public school can take part in that program, which is, you can find out how to do that by, give us a call if you want to talk about it or email us. We'd be happy to support you. But, going to the school where you are or the school district where you are and saying, hey, I'd like to pull my kid, you know, one day a week or one half day a week or whatever is right for your family for nature enrichment classes. And we have the right to do that as parents, which is really neat.
It's actually a simple Google form that the school districts have. It's an intent to homeschool.
Intent to homeschool. Yep.
So it's the part-time piece of that that I think a lot of people are not aware of. So we want to raise more awareness around that. And also, we can support families who may have their kids enrolled in the H-Connect program at the Olympia Regional Learning Academy. We are right across the street from there, just real close by. If you were to look at a map, we are within walking distance. So I'm really excited about that particular community, which is already so close to our school, like logistically right there. I'm excited about those H-Connect parents, especially learning that our program for 6 to 12-year-olds now exists just right there. So if they'd like to do, you know, if they're over at Orla and then they want to do a couple days of forest school or a half day of forest school, we're really excited about learning how we can best serve the homeschool community. So for now, we do have that full availability Monday through Thursday, 9:30 to 3:30 for kids. And we're looking forward to finding out like how many people want that full time or part time, or if some families are really looking for like 2 half days or we don't really know, but I guess my point of this part of the conversation is to say, hey, please tell us what you want. We're here to serve you. And we're really excited about seeing how we can best assist families meet their needs. There's so much there, which is just really awesome, that you really learn best in that actual environment doing those things. Mm-hmm. So
for sure, stones on that. Hands-on learning is like a big thing.
Yes, we're also very excited to integrate the hands-on academics, hands-on science and math and language arts and all of the subjects that homeschool families need to incorporate into their education plan in a really fun outdoor hands-on kind of way.
Yeah, we've been working to create our curriculum based specifically on those needs that some homeschool families really want, on all of these different things which are generally referred to as subjects, right? And so we are including that same list basically in the curriculum that we're creating, but everything being through hands-on learning. So yeah, I'm excited.
Right on.
So you have the preschool?
Correct. Yeah, the preschool is through kindergarten program. So it's for ages 3 to 6. We do 9 to 1 primarily for the preschool age. We also offer some aftercare programs from 1 to 3.
So that's 9 a.m. to 1 p.m.
Yeah.
Monday through Friday. And then with an additional add-on possible or a different time from 1 to 3 as well for some families.
So those are our hours, and
We try to make it as accessible as possible with a sliding scale for families, and that is the honor system. So if you go to the website and you look at the admissions page or the programs page, you'll see what the sliding scale is. And then we also offer additional discounts for low-income families below the sliding scale. So it's really our effort to make it as accessible as possible for all incomes and backgrounds of people. We also offer, as the nonprofit, some scholarships, and the more donations we receive, the more scholarships we're able to provide for really low income and at risk or minority families. So that's a big goal of ours now, especially, is to increase that program and the scholarship program.
Yeah, definitely. That's good to hear. Something that I had thought about, I actually have been homeless with my children. Not everyone that's homeless wants to be working under the McKinney Act and putting their children in a school either, you know, and so this could be a viable alternative for them potentially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, many of our founding mothers and directors were single mothers and at some point have needed assistance. So it's a big part of what we do in our mission is to provide that support for people who need it. And a lot of times it's temporary, sometimes it's ongoing, and we have that flexibility and the community support to be able to provide that.
Flexibility is a key point there.
Yeah, I mean, as the nonprofit in Ferngully School, we are not part of the Olympia School District. We can serve families who are part of the school district, as we mentioned, by offering like a 1 day a week pop out or however much they want to our homeschool families. But we are not part of the Olympia School District. And so any particular challenges that families have with, you know, their own housing or lifestyle or whatever is coming up for them with OSD is not the same for us. We're a very different entity.
And so you have after school and camps, after school programs?
We have summer camps in the summer. We have not opened our after school program. We do have an interest list for that. So when we get a long enough interest list, we would consider opening an after school program. At the moment, we are focusing on our preschool through kindergarten program and the new NatureWise program for kids 6 to 12. So that's 9:30 to 3:30. So it's not really after school.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And we have had after school programs in the past. And as Chris has said, we do have an interest list that we are adding to it this time. So, you know, if families are looking for that after 3 p.m. type care, you know, feel free to reach out to us and let us know. And we will continue to get that list together for us to be able to hire teachers to get that program going. We would just need to have enough people that really want it to happen. And we've been in that position before, and that's been great. And we're open to doing it again if there is that need in the community.
You call it the camps for the summer, but how is it different or the same from your school year classes?
Great question. Well, just the nature of the season. So we're a seasonally based school and program, and our curriculums are based seasonally. So in the summer, the kids spend a lot of time in the creek. They spend a lot of time picking blackberries. You know, this year there was so many neat, amazing things they did. But so you'll see the reflection of the seasons in the curriculum, but also the energy of the group. So when it's high summer and the sun is shining bright and everybody's warm, it's just such a different energy than January. What are we doing together, right? So there's that. Also, a lot of the kids who will have come to summer camp, especially in that older group, the 6 through 12-year-olds, some of them have been in public school for the year or doing other things, and they really have a camp experience with us that's a lot of outside games and activities and crafts and gardening
and playing with their friends outside. We do really neat, the missions. What do we call that? Like where they'll have like a goal that they work on together as
the
group.
The team challenge.
Team challenge. Thank you so much. Yeah. So we'll have team challenges. Mm-hmm. We'll have team challenges that we have them work on do together based on things that we're learning. I think it just has a lot more element of like games and play and wildness on a level. Yeah, we want them to just come away feeling like they had a lot of really high energy play in a way that's unique to summer, right? And so it is really a year-round program that we offer, and summer is that camp element partially because of the difference in the students that we have enrolled and what they may be doing during some of the rest of the year, and then the other is just the season. Yeah.
We run it to be consistent for our current families who need consistency and the children who also need consistency. So it does run through the whole summer. It is 4-week sessions. Generally, we do open it to weekly enrollment for our older NatureWise program. But we do July and August in order for, you know, the care to be very consistent. We take 1 week off before school starts, but that's it.
Okay. Oh, good. Good to know. Thank you for clarifying that. Yeah. So you're talking specifically about age groups. Now, having a child myself who's neurodivergent, sometimes their physical age does not reflect their mental or emotional age. Mm-hmm. And so I've been able to, in the past, get my daughter into a, like we had out school. Wasn't there something she wanted to do on outschool.com?
Yes, new family.
Yeah, totally. And so they had a certain cutoff age at like 15. My daughter was 17. But really, she was really on the same developmental level. And so they let her in after a conversation. Are y'all flexible in that?
That is such an amazing question. So at this time, we can serve children up to age 12 in the particular program that we're offering right now. We do want to expand in the future to serve older children as well. And we're excited about that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, one thing at a time.
There is some flexibility as far as if your child is under 12 or, you know, if they're 13 or 14, but they have 11 or 12-year-old development capacity, like, contact us. We'll talk about it. Yeah, there is potential for that.
Cool. That's such a relief to hear that because, you know, it's just so frustrating when you're confined in a certain age number, but you don't conform to that age number narrative.
Well, already with the two programs that we do offer, the preschool and the NatureWise, those are all mixed age classes. And so like our preschool is for children ages 3 through 6. And then our NatureWise program is children 6 through 12. In the preschool, we have a ratio of 6 kids to 1 teacher. And then in the NatureWise program, we're doing 8 kids to 1 teacher. And so, and sometimes too, you know, it just depends on the kids. Like, but generally, I was going to say we may do more teachers for those numbers. But generally, that's what we do. So the kids just have, even though they're all those different ages together, there is a lot of similarity developmentally. And something that we're really excited about is how the younger children interact and the older children interact. You know, if you have a 5-year-old and a 3-year-old, they're going to be similar in some ways and different in some ways, and they can work together and help each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, that's how we appear on the planet naturally as humans. We don't all just come out as like, you know, I personally prefer not to just have all one age of kids all together all the time. I feel like they just learn a lot more together, being able to help each other and teach each other things with those mixed age groups.
Definitely.
So mm-hmm. that's like as far as lesson planning or activities that we do, anything that we're offering the kids, there's this whole range of how different children are going to do the same project based on who they are, their own expression, and where they're at developmentally, as far as their interest levels, their skills, their capacity to engage in different ways practically, as far as like crafting or learning about something, and then how do we express about what we just learned? It might be drawing, it might be talking about it, it might be writing about it, and that's, or making a craft or whatever. Or it might be going and teaching about it, right, to the group in a different way. So anyway, that's kind of a little bit about our approach, which I feel is relevant around mixed age.
Definitely.
Oops, is like there's a lot of opportunity for the kids to just engage together and also be met in their own unique development. So yeah, so the age is like a little bit more flexible, I feel like.
Thank you for explaining that. Thank you so much. Good. What is the process for enrollment?
Yeah, so you can just email ferngullyschool@gmail.com or go to our website, communitynature.org/programs.
Cool. And so you said you're not part of OSD, but you do follow the OSD school calendar?
Correct.
And so yeah. The enrollment is around those periods of time? Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Yes, we have open enrollment currently. We only have a few spaces left in our preschools or kindergarten program. But we do have more availability in our new NatureWise program.
Awesome. How do you handle accessibility? Have you had to manage with disabled students, children, wheelchairs? What is the accessibility?
We do have wheelchair accessibility at our new Community Nature Center. So that is a big part of our mission for the new programs, to make it more accessible for all people of all income levels and all ability levels.
Awesome. Awesome. And what about language accessibility? So do you have anyone bilingual with your teachers?
Not at this time, no.
We've had Spanish bilingual teachers in the past, and we are always looking for that. It's always a great thing to have.
Awesome.
It's just not a particular service that we offer at this time.
And I saw something about community projects on your website.
No, we have some really fun community events and projects. You can come in and help us pull ivy off of the trees. There's an invasive English ivy. There is, in the spring, we often do like a spring equinox egg hunt where the kids get to go and do an egg hunt in the forest, but the parents come and they're doing like a trash panda competition to see who can pick up the most and clean up the most. So
okay.
We do restoration work in the forest as well as just some really fun community projects. There's gardens, especially at the new place. We have a community garden space that we're working to develop. So it really just depends on each person's individual interests and how they want to contribute. Welcome to send us an email again, ferngullyschool@gmail.com, and just let us know if they want to get involved and be a part of these fun projects.
Yeah, and we're always looking for ideas for projects, activities, events, teachings, skill shares from members of our community here in the local Olympia area or the South Sound. People who are drawn to or share our values and our mission for the kids and the community and the forest, to come, like, get in touch with us, come check out the property, check out the forest, check out the space that we have. We want to be, we want to be able to foster teachings, trainings, skill shares, what's another word for like practices, like, mm-hmm. You know, different healing practices or activating practices. You know, it could be different types of workshops. If people want to come and get in touch with us about collaborating with us on the property that we have to do community events that also we may not have thought of yet, mm-hmm. or we may not teach ourselves. So we're always interested in, again, just collaborating. Please reach out to us if anybody's interested in collaborating to help create more resiliency and sharing of information and good community practices. That's why we have the Community Nature Center now. That's the heart of it. And it's a relatively new space to us still, but we're really excited on being able to host more things like that and collaborate more and more.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Yeah, it has a nice big open community gathering space. There's also a kitchen. So we're looking at doing family cooking classes, maybe some parent support groups and different things like that there.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Do you work with Indigenous tribes?
Yeah, we work with Squaxin Island Tribe, and we're partnering with them more and more as we're developing this new program, the NatureWise curriculum. So they have some really amazing ethnobotany curriculum. It's the Cedar Box curriculum that they have at Squaxin Island. We've also worked with Nisqually Tribe as well. So we are always open to partnering more as well. So if anyone has connections and resources, please reach out.
Fabulous. And then how can people get involved?
Yeah, reach out to us and we can add you to our mailing list, our email list for starters. If we have work parties or events upcoming, people can just reach out and come ask to go take a tour. If they're interested in enrollment, we have tours available regularly for any families who are interested in the school. And then if there are any practitioners or people who would just like to get involved and help out somehow with the land or the property, just reach out to us and say, hey, we're interested. There's lots of ways to be involved.
Bilingual teachers.
Wetland scientists, wildlife biologists.
Is there anything else y'all would like to share?
We're just really excited to be able to share this with the community. It is, of course, very word of mouth to get it out there for our new programs, especially for the NatureWise for 6 to 12-year-olds. So if you know any kids of that age, please share with them. Share as much as you can. We do believe that if all kids were able to get this kind of an education, we would have a very different world. So it gives us hope for the future.
Yeah. I'm really excited that we can offer that program as well. That's like my big celebration right now. I love our preschool too, and the community events and everything. I love that, but particularly offering such an amazing program for children who are generally referred to as school age and being able to just get them outside. Just get them outside. I want people to know that we have that program available throughout the school year for school age children, ages 7 through 12. Please come talk to us. Please call us. Please look us up. Please book a tour. Know that we are, our goal is to just get as many kids outside and thriving as we can. Mm-hmm. And give them an experience where they don't have to mask socially. Give them an experience where they don't have to sit still.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they can find their own times of enjoying stillness. We all do. But that's not based on demands.
Yeah, I love all the studies that show how important it is for children's brain development to be moving. And especially at this age and school age, the primary learning is not usually incorporated with movement when it needs to be. It shows, you know, in many studies that children need to be spinning or turning upside down or having a lot more brain breaks, body breaks in order to actually be able to learn. So I just really love all of those studies that show that. Also, the studies that show that kids need to be outside 3 to 6 hours a day. Like, how many kids are actually getting that?
Well, and left to their own devices, if they know that they can, I think most of them will. If they've ever been introduced to the joy of being outside, being barefoot in the grass or the dirt or growing something or playing in a creek or climbing a tree or hiding in the forest under the ferns, playing some kind of fun tag game. Some children haven't had those experiences, but ones that have will naturally crave that and want that and want to do that more. I want to go outside. I want to go outside. I want to go outside. That's what kids say. You know, once they know that life. And we just want to make sure that the kids around here can come play in the forest. Mm-hmm. We got it. We got it for you. Come play in it. Mm-hmm. And
Yeah, we are always very excited about any other foundations, businesses, individuals, grants who can help us to continue fundraising to save Fern Gully Forest and also augment our capacity for scholarships. And so we can keep paying our teachers and pay them better too. So that's our need for the fundraising. So yeah, we're here. Come visit. Come take a tour, come check it out, meet us, and see if we can offer that service.
Awesome. Thank you both so very much for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you. It's a pleasure to share.
If you would like to check out or contact the Community Nature Foundation and Fern Gully Forest School, you can email them at ferngullyschool@gmail.com or call 360-305-0021 or find them online at either communitynature.org or ferngullyschool.com.
That's it for today's resource report produced by Pathways to Agency. At Pathways to Agency, we are driven by the belief that everyone should have the tools and support to achieve their goals and thrive in their communities. Our mission is to bridge the gaps in understanding, accessibility, and trust by connecting individuals to resources and sharing information and processes that can lead to personal and community growth. Resource Report offers information about existing and emerging nonprofits and resource organizations. Find out more at pathwaystoagency.org.
From there, you can follow the link to our podcast archive and listen to any episode anytime. And check out our YouTube channel.
Chaos Radio is not responsible or liable for any views or opinions expressed in the interviews conducted by Resource Report. Till next time, and thanks for listening.